Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions. And today I have Liara Luciano. Also, that's a beautiful name. I kind of feel like it just rolls in the tongue like smoothly. She's a content creator and also an influencer marketing expert. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to sit and chat with you today.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun, so chilled. And today is a Sunday at 11 a.m. So can we give some shout out to Liara for coming all the way to Brooklyn? I feel like half the world is sleeping right now.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm kind of like a daylight chaser. So I'm used to being up early in the morning for shoots and like making the most out of the day, you know, especially with our limited sunlight now.
I love that though. So you are a normal, like a normally morning person?
No.
Not at all. You make an effort to be one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I put on full glam for you.
No, she looks gorgeous. Like, her eyeshadow is on point. Like, it's, like, pink and, like, glitter. I'm loving it.
Thank you.
That blending.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I just want to be ready for the day. I've got to shoot some content after.
Okay. Yeah, amazing. So like, you work everything running out. Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's begin with having you introduce yourself.
Okay.
And just talk a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with the city, because I'm not sure if you were born here, where you when you come here, like all of that.
So I am a native New Yorker.
Yay! Yeah. Oh my God, this is amazing. So the episode previously is also Emily Polner. She's a native New Yorker, and you're awesome. A native New Yorker. Yeah. I love that because out of all the guests, it's almost a little rare. Most of them have moved here with a one-way ticket and have really interesting stories, but it's also amazing to talk to people who have been born here. And as always, you can hear the sirens because it's New York, guys.
It's classic NYC ambiance.
Yeah, 11 a.m. I don't know what's happening, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Chelsea.
Okay. Oh my God. Yeah. You were like, wow. That's amazing because on the Lower East Side, Emily previously was Hell's Kitchen and you're Chelsea. We're like going to cover all the ground.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, it was definitely obviously very different from how it is now, like and how it's perceived. It was a little bit rougher. I mean, there was nothing going on at like Chelsea Piers. That was not a thing.
But Chelsea Market, was that still there yet?
Chelsea Market in its, like, I mean, the facade, like the building was there. I actually used to, when I was like in undergrad, I would go there and like study because it was so quiet empty.
Yeah.
And it was just like office buildings up there. And like there were a few places to like get food, but like I could bring my laptop, plug in, and it's just not the same at all. Like you can't sit down. And
it's certainly not quiet ever.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I went to Chelsea Piers as well to go ice skating.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was not a lot over there. And I mean, now it's just between the High Line. And I mean, there's so many things that are going on. And even like, depending on what you consider like the, you know, the boundary or the border of Chelsea, like, you know, you also have like the Vessel and, you know, you have some things that are going on over there on the West Side that are really exciting too.
What was it like growing up in the city, though?
I mean, I don't know anything else. So it's really hard to, like, compare it to, like, my friends who grew up in the suburbs.
Right.
I just think it's, like, I don't know. I feel like growing up in the city, I think maybe it instilled a sense of independence. But my parents were also, like, very trusting of me. I'm the eldest of three. So I was, like, always looking after my brother and sister. So it's just sort of, like, I don't know, like you kind of like do things like go to the supermarket or like, I don't know, take care of errands that are like, you know, like once you're able to cross the street, 100%. Like that's it. Like just exactly. Get stuff done. Like there are chores to be done and, you know, whether it's inside or outside the home, like, you know, that's kind of
where did you go to college?
So I went to NYU for undergrad.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, so okay, so you stayed because I got to NYU as well, but I was debating between NYU and Syracuse. Okay. But I really wanted the like college life, like the things you see in TV and movies because I was like, this is all I know. And I knew New York would be home. So that's why I like left. But okay, that's so interesting.
How did you like the experience of dorm life? Did you do full dorm life?
Yeah, so freshman year. I mean, looking back, I don't know how the hell I did it because that's like now it's like gross to me to think about like sharing a bathroom and all that. But as a freshman, I feel like at that time in my life, it was so exciting. Mm-hmm. It was so different. And I remember the first day that I got there, like I went to a frat party. And it's, I'm not joking, it's exactly how you see movies. Like it's no exaggeration. But it was just such a different world. And I really wanted to just have that like typical college experience, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But a part of me was still like, wow, like what would have been like if I was in, if I chose NYU?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, with NYU, there were a lot of people I think who were, you know, kind of like making their own New York stories coming from other places and like, you know, attending university in New York. Mm-hmm. And I think NYU's appeal is like, oh, the campus 100%. Is New York City, which for me is like, well, it's home, but yes, it's my campus. So I'm not sure if I kind of, you know, appreciated that as much as other people coming from outside. Because I just, you know, I'm very like, I'm a New York elitist. I'm like, it's the best city in the world. Uh-huh. And of course everybody wants to come here and go to school and learn and like have access to all of these like amazing cultural institutions. And, you know, I mean, and I think, I still have that attitude for sure. 100%. But you know, the more you travel, the more you see that there is, you know, more, you know, whether it's just like to life, culture, all of those things, you know, that possibly do exist outside of New York. But
what did you study?
I studied politics.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you know, like you wanted to go to NYU, like was, did you even decide or debate going elsewhere?
Yeah, no, that was pretty much it. I knew I wanted to stay in New York and stay close to my family and just kind of like, I don't know. For me, there was no interest in a dorm life or I don't know. I mean, campus, sure. I mean, Columbia does, I think, a really great job for being in the city and having a campus. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I didn't see the appeal
NYU
for me.
Is not, I mean, I feel like Washington Square Park is like part of their like campus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, and no. And depending on like what decade you're in, like, you know, they may or may not want to say that. So,
just looking back at just, you know, being a native and your NYU experience and growing up, what is like the one thing you can like, you would thank New York City for, or you're like, wow, like looking back at my life, this is what, like this thing or this component of the city is what really makes me who I am today. It's the energy, the, like you were saying, the independence, the, I don't know, like.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I mean, I really do like the word energy. I mean, because it is, I feel like it's both, it has positive and negative, and there's like a spectrum in between energy. It could be nervous energy, like in the form of anxiety, which I definitely have, as I think anybody who has spent time in New York, you definitely get a sense of that. But then there's also like this sort of, you know, creative energy, you know, that can be a little bit calmer, or I mean, it could kind of be anywhere on that spectrum, but like, there's just so much going on. And I always feel like if anybody, I probably have not talked to these people in some time, but if anybody ever says, oh, I'm so bored, I have nothing to do. It's like, if you are anywhere near New York, like there are so many things to do. Like you just don't have like internet connection to like figure out what to do or like you can't open a door and go outside. Right. Like, I don't know. There's something wrong with you.
Wait, that's so interesting you mentioned that because also being a native, like sometimes we are so used to having, you know, all these things that are accessible.
Yes.
Do you like, I'm not saying do you not get bored, but like, do you sometimes find that yes, there's so much to do, but there's also like not that much to do? Because I usually play tour guide when a lot of people come and I'll go to like New York Public Library, and like I'll go to Central Park and like, you know, all those quote unquote touristy stuff. Yeah. But sometimes when I'm in my own world, like I don't always like say like, okay, let's take a stroll in Central Park. I have to like make an effort out of it. Like I don't want to take it for granted, but almost forget that there is so much out in the world. Maybe that's just me now that I moved to Brooklyn.
Maybe. I don't know if that is a Brooklyn thing. I think that's maybe a larger question. Yeah. I mean there's so much going on in this.
But
area
like in your too, in your yeah. like normal schedule, like let's say in a month. So you how much of it are you actually exploring the city on your own and you know, purposefully?
Well, purposefully,
that's what I'm trying
that's,
to like.
That's interesting because purposeful, like for me, I like to create content. I like to shoot outdoors. So I'm always kind of scouting for locations. Mm-hmm. And even my mom and my sister, like we shoot content together.
Oh my God.
So,
that's amazing.
Like separately. So you kind of wouldn't know, like we'll be like, you know, posing on like the same backgrounds, but like we all have like very different styles. So you wouldn't
that.
Know. So there's definitely a lot of location scoutings. I mean, I don't know.
But I'm saying like aside from work.
Oh,
do you know
gosh.
What I mean? Like you're literally like, hey, to your mom and sister.
Yeah.
Let's go
right.
to the New York Public Library.
Like to enjoy things.
Yes.
Like,
or like museums. That's what I'm trying to say.
I think I kind of save that for dating a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I think that's definitely that's definitely something I do. Like, you know, something that's a little bit more of a neutral activity, you know, like, okay, let's go to a museum and look at art and see if we can like tolerate, like let's see how we both do in lines, like waiting for admission for like a special exhibition.
Uh-huh.
Let's see like what our thresholds are for looking at art aimlessly,
mm-hmm.
or like maybe I'm excited about a certain artist or exhibit and you know, maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, the other person is or isn't. So it's like, I think it's sort of like a little bit of a test of compatibility.
That's so yeah, you're so right because that's all I do. I mean, obviously the first date you're like, oh, let's grab a drink just so I can see if you're, you know, like a human being and like you're okay.
I don't know. I'm not really big on drinking.
Me neither. And I'm the same way. Like sometimes I'm like, let's just grab a coffee or like, let's do like a stroll in the park or like something more casual during the daytime.
Yeah.
But I also feel like sometimes it's, like we're on an interview. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
I feel like sometimes a drink just like breaks the ice.
Yeah.
But then there's pros and cons because
absolutely.
Then you can be like, you know, you're not really judging them.
Yeah.
For, I don't know.
And I think there's no right way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the one thing that I'm learning about dating in New York.
Yeah.
How did we get here? What?
I know. just chit-chatting.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think obviously it's very culturally acceptable just to be like, hey, let's get a drink.
Yeah.
It's very like almost non-committal and just sort
exactly.
of like super cash, one
yeah.
drink and that's it. Or it could turn into more, it could turn
exactly.
into dinner or whatever beyond
right.
that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I think usually I'm sort of like, I do like to explore in the sense of like putting it out there. Hey, let's get pizza. Like New York has amazing
I love
pizza.
That. Wait, what's your favorite pizza by the way?
Oh my goodness. It's
this
really
is,
hard.
Yeah. This is like a debate.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
something that I'm like, you know, passionate about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So already in my head, I was thinking of making a pit stop to Roberta's.
Okay. Okay.
Before
Can I
going
say something?
Home.
Okay. So for those who don't know, I mean, I'm not going to disclose my address or anything, but I'm basically near Roberta's. And I haven't tried it until I moved here. And my
mm-hmm.
roommate and I ordered it the other day, like in summer. And it's, I feel like it's overrated.
Okay. Did you just ordered it?
We order like
you
a
didn't
pot.
But you didn't have it in the restaurant. I feel
no.
like there's a little bit of a difference
really?
When you like get delivery. Like,
okay.
you know, I feel like having it there
okay.
on site, like fresh from the oven. Like,
I know. I think I need
difference.
To give another chance. And
yeah.
to be fair, we went through this whole winery thing. We came home. We were really hungry. And I felt like I was like already angry. Like I was not in a good state of mind.
Yeah.
But so that's why. But okay, so Roberta's and then is there any like
I mean,
competing?
There are so many good places. Like there's like
what about Joe's?
Joe's is great.
Prince.
Yeah. I
oh
mean
my God,
I just
you don't like those.
No, it's
oh.
not that I don't like them. I don't like lines.
You know what's so weird? Okay, every time I go to Prince, I don't wait.
Oh.
I mean if I wait, it's like maximum 5 minutes.
Okay.
So like I don't I mean maybe I've just been having luck
maybe.
With it, but like But you know what's really good? Emmy's Square.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there's one on Marcy and one in the East Village. I'm not joking. I went and I was like, holy moly, this could potentially be the best pizza.
All right.
Like, it was delicious.
Okay.
So put that on your list.
All right. I do love, like, the, you know, grandma slices and the squares and things that are a little more, like, kind of Sicilian. But then I do also like,
plain-ass
dollar
pizza. Yes. I feel like you can't really get bad pizza in the city, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, there's dollar pizzas everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, it's bomb.
Yeah.
And you're only paying a dollar.
Exactly. Or if there's, like, a
deal.
Exactly. You get your drink and two slices for, like, I don't know, $3.75 sometimes or whatever.
Oh, my God. I love it. Wait. Yeah. Also, what is your favorite restaurant? I know we're talking about food, but, like, this – no, because, like, you live here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, what's your, like, go-to restaurants?
Well, I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
So,
Have you always been vegetarian?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So, I love By Chloe.
So good.
Fast,
they're
casual.
Burner.
Super easy. It's just, like, a no-brainer.
Yeah.
There are lots of other places that have, like, vegetarian menus and options.
Have you tried – what's that on Allen Street? Like – something candy or
dirt candy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really good. It was more of an experience.
It's
like, it was pricier and it had like multiple courses.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I think it was like almost a prefix kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice.
Yeah.
I do also like Nick's, which is plant-based.
I recently just discovered them. I went with some, like another, like a PR girl and like, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really yummy.
Cool.
There's just so many places.
Yeah.
And then there are many places that like you wouldn't think that they're like vegetarian friendly. And then
I feel like every restaurant, not every, but like a lot of places are like rolling out vegetarian menu, gluten free menu.
Yeah.
Like it's been kind of trending, but also in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, you see it at like all the fast food places too, that's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know if you heard, but like McDonald's is like rolling out vegan burgers.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I think it's an exciting time.
It's really cool.
And I feel like obviously that's not necessarily for the benefit of anyone who is vegetarian or vegan.
Oh, 100%.
But, you know, just kind of giving the options. I think we all need, like, I have no medical background, but we all need to be like heart aware and heart healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's nice to be able to have more options at like, you know, places where they have tons of restaurants like a McDonald's.
Right. Yeah.
Or like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. How the hell did we meet? I don't know. Do you think it was an event?
It must have been. Like, there's so many events. And, like, I feel like I know people. And I also, like, don't know them really well. But I just see them at events.
Yeah.
And then once you start following people on social, it's like... Like, I feel like I know you, but I know we haven't had many, like, conversations.
But no, I totally agree. Like, there's... The way I see it is, like, you fall into, like, three categories, right?
Yeah.
It's, like, people that you, like, know. Like, that's my homie.
Right.
Like, I text her. I talk to her. Then there's people who are, like, I don't really know her, but, like, we vibe. You know, like, I like her.
Yeah.
And there's people that you just see in passing, and, like, that's it. Like, surface level.
Right.
But, like, we are, like, the vibing category, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't.
And it's been for some time.
No,
I just
for sure.
Don't know how long. I'm really bad with years now. I feel like... I've been in the editorial world for like a good, what year is it? Like, you know, over 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's like working editorially, like you'd go to a lot of events and then kind of transitioning into like the blogger space.
Mm-hmm.
There's also events and now sort of like, you know, still doing that. It's like you just, you know, it kind of changes. So like I've been around for a minute. You've been around for a few minutes. So.
And then we're together now. So.
Yeah.
So tell me about the transition between... graduating with a degree in politics to, I guess, because you're in the PR/influencer digital marketing, and then about your blog and like all of that. How did that even come about?
So, I mean, I think I have not that anyone has a traditional route.
Okay.
Because I think this is like a very non-traditional space that we're in, not even career, because I feel like, you know, if you're, whether you're like, you know, working full time or a full time influencer, it's like there's, you know, there's no one way to do it. There's no one size fits all. But I think I started out like writing for magazines while I was actually in law school. So,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So I don't know if that counts as a confession or not. But while I was, you know, finishing up law school, I was writing for magazines, like print magazines.
Okay. What were you writing? What were the topics?
Mostly beauty and fashion. Okay. I was also working as like a fashion stylist mm-hmm. and styling covers. And
so you've always had that interest in
Yeah. And before that, I mean, like my first like proper, like on the books mm-hmm. job was like working at a makeup counter.
Oh, nice.
So I've always been in beauty like my whole life, you know?
Yeah.
So I think from there, I was writing about so many different things at different publications and it was great, but everyone kind of folded like one by one, you know, the print world was just like going digital and, you know,
was that scary for you? Or were you kind of like, you know what? Like I can understand why and I'm going to, you know, chase the.
No, I would love to say, I totally saw all of this coming and like, you know, could kind of see the future. But I knew like the future was, you know, not print in the same way. Like, sure, maybe Vogue would always exist, mm-hmm. You know, and be an institution. But also like, you know, what happens with like institutions. It's mm-hmm. like they hold like artifacts mm-hmm. and like remnants of like yesteryear usually. Mm-hmm. So like what was coming, I don't think that was like, I feel like we're still determining that, you know?
So, and it's scary, but exciting, but like, scary.
yeah. So I feel like it was really interesting because anybody that I would talk to, whether it was sort of like in the legal profession or even in the editorial world, like, okay, what can you advise me? Like looking for mentors. And I think the best advice that I got was like, basically, I don't know, you know, because there was no like, there's no longer really like a specific career track, you know, mm-hmm. for you to follow.
Yeah.
Like whether it was like practicing law, like making partner or like, unless you were going to, you know, transition into politics, which initially that's what I was going to plan on doing. But I think once I kind of got closer to it, I was less interested mm-hmm. and kind of more interested in, you know, like being creative and fulfilling that part of myself.
Nice.
So okay. that's sort of the shift for me.
And then I guess when did you start creating content for Instagram?
Oh boy. So Instagram started in 2010.
Yeah.
It was terrible. it was all those horrible filters mm-hmm, with the frames. Mm-hmm.
But like, I love that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, no one knew what they were doing. Yeah. I mean, maybe some people did, but like, I just feel like you kind of have to be, if you're in a digital space, you kind of have to be like an early adopter and like get on new platforms. I've joined so many platforms.
Wait, speaking of platforms, are you on TikTok?
Okay. So I'm on TikTok. I'm just kind of watching right
Same.
Now.
I'm lurking. Yes. I posted one video, but you can be my fourth follower. Okay. I have no followers. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, just like what you were saying. Mm-hmm. It's a very confusing app. I was talking to my friend about this. There's so much you can do, which is great.
Right.
So many features, but it's not very user-friendly. And I feel like maybe that's the point. Because they're like they're giving you all these tools and they're being like, okay, run with it. But there is I don't want to say successful formula, but you know what I mean? Like things that are trending, like dance videos,
right.
like
all the challenges,
comical, mm-hmm. yeah, challenges, music. Like I'm not good at stuff like that.
I think also you have to be very quick. I mean, because if you look back at Vine, I don't know if you remember Vine.
I know Vine. Yeah. I was never on it. Yeah. I never like got into it. I never watched it. I never had an account. But I get it.
Yeah. So I just feel like obviously Vine, like the whole hook was, you know, the short format. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
definitely, you know, I think the users who really like performed well really knew how, you know, to perform on mm-hmm. the platform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's going to be the same with TikTok, obviously, like coming from Musical.ly, it's like definitely in there that people want to do like all these dubs and all that stuff. And like, whether it's singing and dancing, that's totally cool. But like for lifestyle content, I think there's still kind of an opening to like find an audience.
For sure.
I don't know what that is either.
Yeah.
But I have seen things. I think it was like the purple shampoo trend.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. But that's more of like, and like you have to be committed. It's like it's still a challenge.
Yeah.
It's not like I've actually heard James Nord, I'm sure you mm-hmm. know, he spoke about this girl who recently blew up on TikTok, but she's a lifestyle fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw her videos, not that saying they're like bad or anything, but like she was literally just showcasing her view from her New York City apartment because I think she lives in Hell's Kitchen, and it was just like this beautiful view, but like that's it, and like that blew up. So I feel like it's like what you were saying, it's
right,
it's you never know what's gonna be going viral,
right?
And we're still figuring that out, but it's, I don't know, do you think it's going to have be like, it's, do you think it's gonna last, or do you think it's gonna be like Vine? Somebody told me that TikTok right now has more users than Instagram.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, YouTube is like,
I mean, not YouTube. Yeah, TikTok more than Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know how that came up. Never mind.
I was like, we were talking about YouTube, but YouTube and yeah.
Well, I feel like with, Instagram, I think it's going the way of like in terms of usage, like it's still going to be a popular platform.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's a visually dominant platform, but like they're really trying to like push with, you know, Instagram videos and like IGTV.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was sparking YouTube. And
yeah.
It's like YouTube is video. Like that's it. There's no one's like posting like still pictures on YouTube and like you're watching it for 30 seconds. Like, no, that's not, like, they know what they're doing. End of story. With Instagram, I feel like they are kind of going the route of Facebook with their users. There's a lot of like, oh, we're going to change this and we're going to do this. And like, they're rolling out like hiding likes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's like a bad thing, especially for creators. I feel like you can still screenshot likes as long as you have access to the analytics and data. But I think what Instagram is doing is kind of chasing, I think, kind of creating things that, I don't know, maybe obviously incentivize, like, you know, pay to play. Whereas like TikTok is just coming out and being like, hey, you want to make cool videos? We have like all the filters and AI stuff and like whatever it is that you want, like all these cool filters, do it. And that's attracting like a younger audience,
100%.
Which is going to grow with the platform.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, you kind of have to know like who your users are, but also like what's the growth strategy. I feel like Instagram is just like, this is what you do. This is what we're doing.
Right.
Like it or like, I don't know, delete us.
And what is interesting that I've noticed is that on TikTok, you don't have to engage with people.
No.
Because that is so annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, not annoying. I get it. But it's one of those things where you spend a lot of time on it. I feel like with TikTok, it's exactly what you were saying. Like you're free to create, post whatever the hell you want. What people will, I guess, like latch onto, they will latch onto. That's why you kind of have to put as much content as you want and play around with it. But it's not like, oh, you like my video, I'm going to go like yours. Because the way the platform is so much, the scale is much easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to gain a following, to get views and likes, than it is with Instagram.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think that's also what it comes down to, because it's like, you know, as a content creator, you always have to have a social strategy.
Yeah.
Even as like a freelance writer, like you have to have a social strategy, like whether it's like a publication or, you know, just yourself as like writing an article, having a byline, promoting that content. It's the same thing with social, obviously, like, okay, what are we doing? How do we promote this? Like, you know, are you kind of doing like, you know, a little bit of growth and engagement, following and liking and commenting? And I don't see how you do that on TikTok yet. Maybe
But even like when I'm scrolling.
Yeah, it's just there.
Where do these videos come
from?
Right,
that's what I mean. Like,
how are they showing me this?
Yeah.
Is it random?
Yeah.
Or is there, like, I don't know. I don't know where these people live.
I have no understanding of their algorithm as of yet.
When I look at the videos, I rarely click on the profile.
Yeah.
I'm just scroll.
Right.
It's so, I don't know. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time because there are times, I don't know if you feel the same way, where I have become a little, I don't want to say frustrated with Instagram, but we both have been doing it for so long that there was a moment in my life where I was like, I wonder if there's gonna be another app that's just going to be trending and like kind of have users move.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my God, TikTok is happening. Because I think when Facebook happened and then Instagram happened, we saw those platforms as almost two different, you know, apps, and we didn't see, like, first of all, how much of an impact Instagram would have. And now, because we have seen it and we've lived through it, we're like, what is the next thing?
Right.
And TikTok might be the next thing, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think it depends on, like, what moves they make, how they want to build out their community. You know, I mean, I feel like you see these things with different platforms. They have, you know, stars of their platforms, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm just talking about like performance, like yeah. who's trending, who's going viral, you know, who's making news off of the platform. So, you know, I don't know what it's going to become, but I think it's really exciting. And I don't know necessarily, I mean, beyond obviously showing a beautiful view
yeah.
as like a lifestyle, you know, influencer, yeah. kind of how you sustain that. And it's just also like, I think as a content creator, you really have to adapt and kind of be 100%. Agile and like, hey, this works for this platform. This performs for this platform. And I have this new platform or newer platform mm-hmm. that I have to beta test content on. Some of it might be horrible, but it's like, I feel like you just kind of have to get in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like totally talking to myself
yeah.
now. I'm like, all right.
Because you have one, but yeah. you haven't posted anything, right? Or you have?
I think I posted something. I don't know if I deleted it or not.
Okay.
I don't know. But
I'm going to stalk you on TikTok later. This is so interesting. I love how we just like spoke about that because it's so relevant right now, you know? And it's so exciting to see like 6 months from now, a year from now, what
yeah.
the hell will happen? Because it can blow up or it can just fall on the face of the
yeah.
earth. Like,
or be acquired by,
yeah.
like, you know, somebody else. Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's shift gears a little because
okay.
I know we spoke about all of that. And I want to ask you, what keeps you up at night? So this is a transition question. After we talk about your background and rambling and all that, then we, you know, ground ourselves. And I love asking this because, like you said, we don't really know each other that well. But I feel like we all go through shit and we all have our battles and highs and lows. You could be living your best life right now and that's totally fine, you know? And if there's nothing that's stressing you out, then so be it. But like what keeps you up at night psychologically and like what's stressing you, girl?
Yeah, all of it, everything. I mean, I feel like I'm very, you know, in my head a lot. And, you know, so that definitely, there's always things that come up. It can be small things that I just try to let go of. And I'm just trying to get better about things. I've always meditated. I studied martial arts as a kid and, you know, through my, like, as I got bigger.
Oh my God, amazing.
But, so that was always a part of it. And my parents definitely instilled sort of, you know, being introspective and kind of trying to be still with your own thoughts.
I love that because I did not discover that until recently. And I feel like as a kid, I would think that's like, not stupid, but like, oh my God, like, you know,
it's boring.
Yeah.
Sit
like,
and do nothing.
Yeah.
And be quiet. Like, who wants to do that
exactly.
as a kid? Yeah.
But that's amazing. So you've always kind of had that.
I mean, I have, you know, proper New York anxiety.
Right.
I mean, also obviously myself, like
mm-hmm.
I kind of have, you know, strong type A personality, mm-hmm. a little bit of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have a little bit of imposter syndrome, especially with social media. You know,
yeah.
you're always kind of comparing and contrasting,
yeah.
and you're like, oh my gosh, like, you know, who cares? What does it all mean?
Yeah.
You know, all of these, like, can have an existential crisis at any time now. You know,
yeah.
you just kind of like open your feed and it's like, what? Oh my
yeah.
gosh, you know?
Yeah.
So reacting to like everything and nothing. But I feel like for me, it's not because like I meditate and I've been really trying to be mindful about being more mindful and incorporating that into my daily practice and just like really, really making time for it. Like, you know, I think there's, you know, there's a saying like, if you don't have enough time to meditate, like double that, you know, like if you don't have 10 minutes to meditate, make it 20 minutes. So it's just sort of like, you know, kind of giving yourself the time to like recharge. Cause I feel like there's also with that energy in New York City, like we also operate at like energy deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you go outside and sometimes it takes you more energy just to like, you know, get to the subway.
Up, yeah.
yeah. And get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, I need to recharge.
Yeah.
So I try to do that with meditation and, you know, you can do it anywhere. You can do it. Can do it on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it in the bathroom, like bathroom stall at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do it at your desk. You can do it on your couch. Like that's I think my favorite thing about it. It's free and it's accessible to everybody who's interested.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can't force people to meditate.
Right.
That's not going to work. But it's definitely a little bit of a shift for me because I really it's not something that I've been talking about like on social or my blog, but I definitely want to kind of, especially during the holidays, especially like during the last month of the year, mm-hmm. people get really down. So there is something that I kind of wanted to launch, like, and I've been, I don't know, kind of hesitant to talk about it, but like, it's just a 30-day meditation challenge. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I like the word challenge, like with meditation, mm-hmm. but you know, I think that's kind of the best way to put it. Just really encouraging people to kind of be with themselves, you know, mm-hmm. the last, like on a daily basis, the last month of the year. And it's,
we should make that happen.
Yeah.
Let's do it this summer. Okay. Because this podcast will go up around like mid-November. It'll give the listeners 2 weeks to prep themselves, because I'm really into meditation as well. Mm-hmm. I will say that I should improve on my incorporating into my daily life, because it's kind of like going back to, I can resonate with that quote. Like sometimes I feel like I don't have time, or I wake up and I'm so, I have so many things in my head mm-hmm. and to-do list that I just like, go.
Yeah.
And there are times when I'm like, okay, I need to meditate. Like when I feel like I do, I'm like, I take the morning to do myself. I'm like, look at, like I have like crystals and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really into it, but I should do better at it. And I feel like December would be a great time, because I do experience kind of, I don't want to say depression, but I get pretty like sad during that time as well. And I feel like that might help.
Yeah.
But can you walk me through a typical meditation session? Like, or do you do it every morning? Like, are you consistent with timing, or are you just kind of like,
I'm not consistent with timing. I really would love to say I wake up and I like hop out of bed and mm-hmm. meditate and like have a whole setup. I don't, and you don't need to have that. Like that's the one thing that I really want to like, you know, express to people, is it's not about perfection. Like you don't have to have like a whole setup or any special equipment. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do, obviously there are tons of apps. There's like, there's different companies that are like providing, you know, like there's a company called The Wave that like, there's a board that like allows for like a guided meditation with mm-hmm. music. You kind of put headphones on and there's like, you feel the bass in like your lower back. It's really cool. Then there is different apps.
I know about Oak, Calm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Calm is also great, but you don't need any of it. I mean, I think the challenge is just to kind of do it mm-hmm. and whatever gets you there, mm-hmm. that's a win, mm-hmm. you know, because I mean, I have a million things going on, you know, in my mind, I have like monkey mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, wake up, do this. Same. Or like, oh my gosh, I can't forget to do this today. Today's the last day to do that thing, or like, or else, I don't know, the world will implode or whatever. But like, yes, you still have to like do all the mm-hmm. things. And I'm not saying that I'm definitely like, I think I feel like I'm a strong advocate for it because I need it so much. Like, I'm not a chill person. Yeah. I'm not like, oh yeah, whatever, cool. Yeah. Like, no, I'm like, oh my God, that needed to be done yesterday. Yeah. Whether it's my expectations of myself or others, you know, so it's just like, okay, you have to kind of manage those things. So I think really it's just about being with yourself, taking even like 5 minutes, putting your phone like to the side. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the main thing. Like you want to use apps, cool. But just kind of like close your eyes, be with yourself, like kind of do like go through your body and just breathe. And it sounds like super simplistic, sounds a little cheesy, but like just kind of focusing on your breath, inhale, exhale, mm-hmm. and that's it. For as long as you can. Might be 10 seconds. And then you might freak out and be like, this is dumb. It's not working. But you'll get there.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
But I think we should really do that.
Yeah.
I'm also traveling, but like, I don't care. I'm going to use that as a even challenge.
Okay? Yeah.
In quotes, because I think we can all benefit from that.
You can do it anywhere.
Yeah. I love that. Yay. Okay. So now the last component of the podcast is the confessions.
All right.
You said you kind of thought about it, but then whatever. Just think about the flow of the conversation. And I think the reason why I came up with this is because I think everybody has a confession. And, like, there's, like, I don't want to say a negative connotation to it, but sometimes people are like, oh, my God, you're asking me for a confession. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it can – I'm trying to make it as a fun thing to just kind of align with sharing your story, sharing your stress, sharing whatever you're going through. So if you were to complete the sentence of my confession is, what would that be? And it could be something that you already spoke about or something completely unrelated or shocking. And
I don't know. I think I kind of touched on like all the things that I was planning to confess.
Yeah.
So You got it out of me already.
Okay. Do you want to summarize it then?
Yeah. So I think my confession is that I definitely, you know, I do struggle with, you know, having a bit of anxiety and really trying to overcome that, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's kind of stress from, you know, being a perfectionist in a lot of ways and just trying to get so much done in the course of 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And then also just sort of like, you know, comparing yourself against benchmarks that may not be real, you know, vis-a-vis like imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. You know, and just really trying to work on improving myself and being okay with myself. Cause I'm at a place where it's not just about, you know, like you definitely see those things on social where it's the highlight reel, mm-hmm. you know, and that's mm-hmm. great. But it's also like, okay, I have to be real with myself. I know obviously sometimes certain posts, you know, you have to be strategic and like, you know, I'm open and honest, like with followers, like my DMs get crazy sometimes mm-hmm. and I have no problem with that, but it's like to share that and kind of like expose it to the world is a little bit different. But like, I think just kind of talking about, you know, what I do to kind of keep calm and, you know, kind of like get out of my head a little mm-hmm. bit, like, you know, through meditation and through other things. Mm-hmm. I guess that's sort of my confession.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a good bow to okay. wrap up our conversation. And with that being said, I want to take a moment now to just acknowledge your presence and like your openness and your willingness as a native New Yorker to trip it out and take time out of your Sunday, because Sunday to me is like a self-care day, but also like an errand day. And I rarely personally like to do work. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like to take care of myself that day. So I appreciate you again coming out on this specific day to just record this with me. And I feel like it's going to bring us closer. I feel like we already have such good energy and, you know, branching out to like the whole meditation talk. I think it'll be really helpful, not only for me, but for like the listeners and just like the world in general. So I appreciate yeah. your, you know, you bringing that up and just being here. And I have two last questions.
Okay.
So second to last is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself? Because I like when my guests leave here being like, you know what? I'm such a badass, or I'm so awesome because of X. So like, yes, what is that?
I really, what I like, I think most about myself.
Love.
Love. Oh, oh boy. Wow. That elevated. Okay. So what I love about myself, I think, is how generous I am with people in my life. So whether, you know, it's friends or family, you know, if they need something, I'm happy to be there for them, you know, no questions asked. And, you know, I think that's just something like, you know, I wouldn't feel like, you know, myself if, you know, I didn't do that. But I also mm-hmm. definitely feel that way about my community and like my audience, you know, like I have a duty to kind of, they have questions for me, no matter how random or sometimes like, you know, maybe, you know, simple, like I'm happy to like give back. Cause I think that's why I create content a lot, you know, might look like pretty things, but mm-hmm. I definitely have a sense, and I almost a responsibility to give back. So I do love that feature of myself.
I love that. And the last question is, what are you up to for the rest of the year? I mean, we only have like basically a month. Or what is your goal? What can people look out for you? I know you were saying something about the meditation. Is yeah. that something you want to
yeah.
like, launch?
You know, yeah. it was something that I was kind of toying with for some time. But yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, I think.
Because I was debating about this podcast literally a year ago and I just did it. You know, like, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I also have other projects. There's a million things mm-hmm. going on, but it's just kind of like what you have time and bandwidth mm-hmm. to carry out 100%. To fruition. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other things going on in the kitchen that I'm cooking up, mm-hmm. Whether it's kind of providing guidance for aspiring content creators and influencers and people that just want to use social media yeah. to grow their business.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm working on. But yeah, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to start meditating with everybody, you know, end of the year, yeah. December 1st. So I'm going to hold myself accountable.
Yes.
And I will start talking about that.
Too.
Okay.
Amazing. Okay. So I will leave all of Liara's, I don't know why I'm saying that. It's so weird. information in the description. And yeah, join us on our meditation challenge or whatever we coin the term yeah. afterwards. Thank you so much for being here. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode and stay tuned for the next ones. We only have a few more left before I wrap up season 2. So thank you so much for tuning in. And again, stay tuned for the next one. And yeah, bye.